ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter 13, Text Number 46. Kala Karma Gunadino Deho Yam Pancha Bautaka Katam Anyangs Tu Gopayet Sarpa Gasto Yata Param Kala Karma Gunadino Kala Karma Gunadino Deho yam pancha bautika. Deho yam pancha bautika. Katam anyangs tu gopayet. Katam anyangs tu gopayet. Sarpa grasto yada param. Sarpa grasto yata param Kala karma gunadino Deho yam pancha bautika Katamanyangs tu gopayet Sarpa grasto yata param Grasto yata param Kala karma gunadino Deho yam pancha kautika Katam anyangs tu gopayet Sarpa grasto yata param Eternal time, karma, action, guna, modes of nature, adina, under the control of Deha, material body and mind. I am this Panchabhautika, made of the five elements. Katam, how? Anyan, others. To, but. Gopayet, give protection. Sarpagrasta, one who is bitten by the snake. Yata, as much as. Param, others. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. This gross material body made of five elements is already under the control of eternal time, kala, action, karma, and the modes of material nature, guna. How then can it, being already in the jaws of the serpent, protect others? Purport. Excuse me. The world's movements for freedom through political, economic, social, and cultural propaganda can do no benefit to anyone, for they are controlled by superior power. A conditioned living being is under the full control of material nature, represented by eternal time and activities under the dictation of different modes of nature. There are three material modes of nature, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. Unless one is situated in the mode of goodness, one cannot see things as they are. The passionate and the ignorant cannot even see things as they are. Therefore, a person who is passionate and ignorant cannot direct his activities on the right path. Only the man in the quality of goodness can help to a certain extent. Most persons are passionate and ignorant, and therefore their plans and projects can hardly do any good to others. Above the modes of nature is eternal time, which is called kala, because it changes the shape of everything in the material world. Even if we are able to do something temporarily beneficial, time will see that the good project is frustrated in course of time. The only thing possible to be done is to get rid of eternal time, kala, which is compared to kala sarpa, or the cobra snake, whose bite is always lethal. No one can be saved from the bite of a cobra. The best remedy for getting out of the clutches of the cobra-like kala or its integrity, the modes of nature, is bhakti yoga, as it is recommended in Bhagavad Gita 14:26. The highest perfectional project of philanthropic activities is to engage everyone in the act of preaching bhakti yoga all over the world, because that alone can save the people from the control of maya, or the material nature represented by kala, karma, and guna, as described above. The Bhagavad Gita 14:26 confirms this definitely. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Sigurve Nama Ugam Guru Devajalam Pangil Mulankaya Tegirin Medgipadamam De Sigurum Dina Tarinam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Paramananda Madhavam. Translation again. This gross material body made of five elements is already under the control of eternal time, kala, and action, karma, and the modes of material nature, guna. How then can it, being already in the jaws of the serpent, protect others? So as we heard yesterday so very nicely from Niranta Prabhu, that the Supreme Lord is the only one that can truly give us any protection. And this is being further clarified and pointed out by this wonderful verse. Who's speaking here, by the way? Narada Muni. He's speaking to Maharaj Yudhisthira. And in the purport here, Srila Prabhupada makes so many nice points. It's just unlimited. And we'll just try to touch on a few of them. First point being that really no one can give us protection, true protection, outside of the personality of Godhead. Everything else falls short. And the verse itself points out that how can you help someone when you yourself are diseased? Isn't it? When you're drowning, how can you help someone else who's drowning? Anyone had any experience trying to save someone out in some deep water? And the first thing they tell you is, tell the person who's struggling to not struggle. Don't fight it. You just relax, and then the lifeguard can pull you in. But if you struggle with it, then everybody goes down. So where's the question of trying to help someone? And again, we try to make so many plans, as Srila Prabhupada makes a point here, that there are so many movements in the world who are trying to establish some freedom in this world. But in reality, there's no freedom. Although we can do so many things, we can establish so many, as Prabhupada points out here, political movements. There's so much conversation now about voting rights, about suppression, about giving everyone equal opportunity. And we're making so many investigations and so many commissions to try and preserve that right. But in reality, it fails. And as we can also make, as Prabhupada points out here, so many economic movements. We're trying to make sure that everyone has economic freedom, right? They want give everyone an opportunity to make money and a job, whether it be from coming from this country to that country, or in this country, to facilitate so many material desires, because that's what it's all about. That economic freedom is all about giving people an opportunity to enjoy their senses more. It's not that they're trying to give everyone money so that they can build temples. It's quite the opposite, or churches, or mosques, or whatever. But quite the opposite. It's there to, again, facilitate the desire for sense gratification, or to create so many social programs to give everyone an opportunity people like to advertise like that this such and such place is a place of opportunity, equal opportunity. But again, it all falls short. And then finally, Srila Prabhupada points out cultural propaganda, which in reality is just indoctrination. Trying to get a certain group of people to think in a certain way that conforms to that management's understanding or opinion. So all of these programs, as Srila Prabhupada points out here, they can do no benefit to anyone. In reality, it's not helping anyone. And why is that? Because they're controlled by a superior power. Karmana daiva netrena jantur deho papataye. It's described in the Vedic literatures that it's under a superior force. It's under the superior dictation. Just like if a small child wants to do something in the house, the parent has to set some guidelines. And if you don't follow those guidelines, there's a reaction. Similarly, the Lord has a certain arrangement. By the arrangement of the Supreme, this arrangement is such that you can act freely within certain boundaries. You don't have a choice, as Prabhupada points out here. They're controlled by a superior power. The living entity, of course, we don't want to accept. Typically, we don't want to accept any authority. But people have a difficulty with that. And try as we may to set up so many organizations or movements to try and remedy certain wrongs or create so many rights. In actuality, they all fail. They all fall short because they're temporary. It's pointed out here in the purport. Srila Prabhupada points out that all of this is temporary. We can make so many arrangements, whether it be social or political or economic or cultural. But in reality, they're all temporary. And by the arrangement of the Supreme, the living entity has to assume a particular body according to his works. Because people are engaging in a certain way, they're acting and reacting in a certain way, they're forced by the laws of nature. Again, we don't have a choice. That old age is forced upon us, that disease is forced upon us, that death is forced upon us, and again, birth is forced upon us, according to the living entity's activities. Because we're engaging in so many works, the living entity has to assume a particular type of body. And sometimes it may be a lower species, it may be a higher species, but all of them are being controlled, as Prabhupada points out here, under the full control of material nature. Right? Purushak prakriti stohi bhunkte prakriti janganan. Karanam guna sangha says sarasat joni janmasu. We have bad luck with this light. We're controlled by the light. No, it's good.
Need it?
Yeah, I don't mind. Doesn't bother me if it doesn't bother you. But the reality is that the living entity is swept up by the modes of material nature and thus has to follow the ways of life. Purushak prakriti stoibunkti prakriti janganan. According to the three modes of nature, he has to act and react in a certain way. Otherwise, how can we explain that there are so many different living entities? there are so many different living entities because there's so many material desires. Everyone has a particular desire, a certain combination, according to the modes of nature, and he's enjoying them, just like you're floating on a little raft going down the river. And the raft is hitting certain waves. Sometimes it's smooth, sometimes it's rough. It goes up and down. So the living entity thus is following the ways of material nature and enjoying the three modes of nature. And thus he has to meet with good and evil amongst various species. Sometimes it may be very wonderful. Sometimes it may be a hellish condition where you live just for a day. Sometimes there are these... yesterday, I remember, there were so many butterflies, if you noticed. They were flying. They were flying from Mexico. It's a one-way trip, though. They go from here straight to Oregon, and then they die. So we may accept a certain form, and by nature's arrangement, we have to follow its course. Thus, the living entity is under the modes of nature, as Prabhupada points out here. There are three material modes of nature, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. Unless one is situated in the mode of goodness, one cannot see things as they are. Tribir gunamayir bhavar ebi sarvamidam jagat. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that there are different modes of nature, and everyone in the material world is deluded by them. The whole material world is deluded by these modes, and thus they follow their desires, they follow their feelings, follow their heart, follow their mind. But all of these things are being controlled, again, by the modes of nature. We may think that it's a very pleasant situation, as Prabhupada points out here in the purport. Sometimes something may, where did he mention that? That something may work for some time, and we may think that it's very pleasant, but it has to end. It has to end eventually. And then, again, the living entity has to take on another situation. Therefore, a person who is passionate and ignorant cannot direct his activities on the right path. Srila Prabhupada was pointing out that only one who is in the mode of goodness can see things as they are. But most people are in that mode of passion and ignorance. Therefore, they're going up and down, as Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. Urvam gacchanti sattvasta madhye tishtanti rajasa jagana gunya vritti sta adho gacchanti tamasa. Sometimes we're in a very opulent and heavenly condition, and other times we may be in a very low, suffering, miserable condition. And that is the nature of this material world. That is the nature of this material world. Narada Muni is very nicely, wonderfully describing this to Maharaj Yudhisthira. That it's by the teamwork, what a coalition. Kala, what was it? Time, karma, and guna. By the activities of kala, karma, and guna, the living entity is being forced to go through this experience. And above the modes of material nature is eternal time, which is called Kala, because it changes the shape of everything in the material world. Even if we are able to do something temporarily beneficial, time will see that the good project is frustrated in course of time. And that is the fact that we may make some nice arrangement in this material world by our different efforts, by our different movements and programs, but in course of time, they all have to end. They have to change by the influence of time. And no one is saved from the bite of a cobra. This time factor is compared to the cobra snake. What is the word? Sarpa? Sarpograsta. One who is bitten by the snake of time. No one can avoid the powerful bite of the cobra. I remember one year we were in Mayapur, and we were swimming from the Dham side over to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's place, which is right across the Jalangi. So we were swimming across, and when we got onto the other side, there was some commotion over here on the right side, just to our right as we got out of the water. And as we got out, we looked, and there were some people all around this person. And next to the person was this big cobra. He must have been at least 6 feet long. And apparently there was an episode right there on the bankside. And then right after that, the snake went back into the water. No one can compete with this arrangement of the Lord. No one can compete with the modes of nature, the factor of karma, and the time factor. No matter how hard we try and make whatever arrangements we want to in this material world, no one can compete with that arrangement. That's why in this verse, and we're seeing the last few verses, Narada Muni's making this point that no one but the personality of Godhead can protect one. Because who can overcome the time factor? No one. But Srila Prabhupada makes this point here in the purport that there is one remedy. And, of course, the Lord gives that remedy as well in Bhagavad Gita. But Prabhupada gives the remedy, and that remedy is to get out of the clutches of this cobra-like kala or its integrity. Oh, it's a very interesting way that Srila Prabhupada uses this word, integrity. Because there's a coalition there between kala, guna, and karma. They have a perfect coalition, and that coalition is so complete that no one can escape it. So it's interesting how Srila Prabhupada makes this point that no one can get out of the clutches of this cobra-like kala and its integrity, the modes of nature, except for practicing this process of bhakti yoga, as it is recommended in the Bhagavad Gita 14:26, Pam Chayova Bicharina Bhakti Yoga Na Sevate. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that there is a one remedy, and that is practicing this process of bhakti yoga by becoming or engaging oneself fully and unflinching in all circumstances, because again, there's so many circumstances which may arise and we get diverted or confused. What should I do, or how do I execute this? Certainly those questions, they arise constantly, practically every day. But by engaging in this process and in a very determinedly way, executing it, finally becoming unflinching in all those circumstances, one can rise above that those modes of material nature, that material nature, and become situated in Krishna consciousness. Krishna says, Yoga yukto vishuratma vijitatma jatendriya, that it's by constant practice and regulation. Therefore, we have a system. Srila Prabhupada has given us a very nice system that by certain rules and regulations, by executing the daily activities of Krishna consciousness in a proper way, one can arise above the modes of material nature and defeat that the influence of kala and karma and guna. It's only by those methods. Otherwise, there's no success. In the material world, people are engaged in so many activities, but because they're not engaged properly, everything they do, their hopes for liberation and perfection and ultimately getting out of this material world, they're all defeated. Ultimately, completely for nothing. Therefore, you see how sometimes people, they lament at the end of their lives, oh, I wanted to do this and I wanted to do that. Oh, there was no success. Because, again, this element of Krishna bhakti was not there in their lives. And no matter what they do, no matter how much money they make or how many so-called freedoms they may achieve, it's all for naught. It's all defeated because the time factor is there, and eventually it's all taken away. So Maharaj Yudhisthira is so nicely describing how if you're in a disease condition, how can you hope to protect yourself or anyone else? It's not possible. One has to become, get to the healthy condition. And that healthy condition is the process of Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga. As we heard so nicely yesterday, it's all built on that foundation of chanting the holy names so nicely. Or properly. So, and are there any questions or comments? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
He's going to go to the store. He knows.
I'm just not like
pressure.